Tonight, we're going to be beginning a new series that I'm calling Aliens and Strangers. And our master text, as you see there on the screen, is Colossians chapter 3. So if you want to turn there to Colossians 3, I'm going to have it up on the screen for you as well. But if you want to turn there and read in your physical Bibles, I like to do that personally. So Colossians chapter 3, would you please stand with me and let's honor the reading of the Word. Honor the Word of God as we read this together. I'll put this on the screen for you as well, for those of you that may not be quite as familiar with your Bibles, so that you don't have to fumble around trying to find this. So Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4 says this, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." And all God's people say, amen. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat. All right. Well, let's look closely at this passage before we get rolling here. What this is saying, ladies and gentlemen, is that when you came to Christ, you died to your old self and your old way of living. And you were raised up a new person in Christ. So since that's true, we are to set our minds then on things above, not on earthly things. Now, I realize that's somewhat difficult to wrap your mind around because we do live in the earth. There's certain attention that we have to give to our job and our family and what have you. But as a way of life, we're to set our minds on things above, not just solely on things here below. Now, have you ever heard anybody say of so-and-so that they are so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good? Have you ever heard that? Well, I suppose for some people, maybe in some ways, that might be true if they're not bearing fruit in this life, because we are all commanded and required to bear fruit for heaven in this life. So being an active and productive member of God's kingdom on this earth is a mandate of God. We're to be productive and active, right? But bearing fruit for heaven, listen to this, bearing fruit for heaven will require a heavenly mindset. Bearing fruit for heaven will require a heavenly mindset. See, I think in most cases, the most productive people in God's kingdom are those who do have a heavenly mindset. See, when a person's mind is just saturated by the things of this world and not much else, it tends to dampen our enthusiasm for the kingdom, and it tends to cause people to get entangled in things that they have no business getting entangled in as Christians. Therefore, we're commanded in this passage in Colossians to set our minds on things above, and that right there will be the focus of this series. So I want to give you the premise then, or actually three premises that will kind of set the stage for this series tonight and ongoing. And the first one is this. Don't be so attached to this world because one day you're going to leave it. I'm going to say that again. Don't be so attached to this world because someday you're going to leave it. Now, I want to tell you that part of what inspired me to do this series was the passing of our beloved Wilma Gay. And of course, her passing was very difficult for us as a family to bear. But one of the things that has comforted us in the loss of Wilma is a deeper revelation of heaven during this time. And I'll be sharing some of that revelation with you. You see, as much as Wilma loved her family and we loved her, let me let you in on a little secret right now. She doesn't want to come back here. She does not want to come back here. In fact, she has never been more alive in her whole life. She's never been more alive in her whole life. So while we miss her, we can really rejoice with her right now in what she's experiencing. And we're on our way to that same experience. So that's my first premise. The second one is this. Live your life with the end in mind. Live your life with eternity in mind. Live it right now with your eternal reward later in mind. And I'm going to be covering all of this in these subsequent teachings as well. Also, I want to focus on this point right here. Heaven is a real place. Now, I know that you already know that intellectually, but I like what Hannah said when we were in the early stages of the grieving process, having lost Wilma. She knew intellectually where Wilma was, but she just needed to be encouraged some way along those lines. So she and Pam Hall got together, and Pam really strengthened her and encouraged her along those lines with some of the things that she said. Again, she already knew intellectually that heaven is real and Wilma is there, but she needed to have a revelation, a fresh revelation of it in her heart. And so talking to Pam really helped her. So along those lines, and I want to read you a passage related to that point right there. And it's found in 2 Corinthians 5:4, and it says, so while we are in this tent, it's talking about the tent of our bodies, we groan under our burdens because we do not wish to be unclothed, but clothed, so that our mortality may be swallowed up by life. I like that wording right there. Our mortality may be swallowed up by life. See, this means that we're not really fully clothed with the glory of God until we are in heaven. And when we're there, folks, listen, we're not swallowed up by death. We're swallowed up by life. Isn't that an amazing thought? We're swallowed up by the life of God. What a beautiful thought that is. Now, I want to read to you 1 Peter 2:11 because this is the verse that our title came from. It's not our master text, but it's the verse that our title came from for this series, Aliens and Strangers. So let's read this together. I urge you, as aliens and strangers in the world, to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Now, that verse, the latter part of it, could be a whole teaching and series in and of itself, to abstain from worldly desires because they war against your soul. But I don't want to focus on that too much right now. What I want to focus on is the language that it uses to describe you and me, which is aliens and strangers. Aliens and strangers. You see, that's exactly what you and I are. We're just temporary residents of this world. We are just passing through. And we're literally exiles in a foreign land, is the wording the Bible uses in other places. We're literally aliens and strangers or exiles in a foreign land. And that's why so much of what we see around us, by the way, grieves us. That's why so much of what we see around us going on in the world grieves us. It reminds me of Abraham's nephew, Lot. When he and Abraham separated, and Lot went down near the plains of Sodom. You remember that? And he eventually was living inside the city. Sodom, of course, was a very, very exceedingly wicked city. And it says of Lot in the Bible that his righteous soul was vexed by what he saw in that city. And why does it say that? Why did what he saw grieve him? Because he was righteous and his surroundings were unrighteous, you see. So he was vexed in his soul because he was a foreigner there in Sodom. Not only a foreigner because he had moved into that place from another place. That's not exactly all of what it's talking about. He was a foreigner to the things that went on in that city. And we as Christians are foreigners to the things that go on in this world. This is not our home anymore. We see all this stuff going around us and we think, how could people be so blind? How could they be so foolish to think that, to act that way? It's because they're part of this world and we're not. We see things because of the Holy Spirit residing within us that other people don't see. Are you with me on that? So you and I tend to be grieved by the wickedness in this world, and it makes us long for our homeland, doesn't it? This is also why the Bible tells us not to love this world. Now, by the way, Donna was telling me as I told her what I was preparing to teach on, she said, you know, I listened to a series by Keith Moore on that very subject some time ago, many years ago, she said. And she said, I had trouble getting my mind around it because we are so plugged in many ways to this world that when we see the Bible saying, don't love the world, we're like, how do you do that? Because there's so many pleasurable things in the world. I love the beauty and the creativity that I see in God's world. I love the mountains. I love the ocean. Not sure why I live in Indiana still, but because there's none of that around here, but I love the beauty of God's creation all over. Well, you know, even here in Indiana, you know, I walk out the front door of my house and I walk down our driveway and there's big, tall, mature trees all around us on our property. And I'm like, God, this is so beautiful. Thank you for this. I just love the creativity and beauty that I see in the world. There's many pleasurable things that are not sinful in the world. So I think what Donna was saying was, you know, I love my family and my family's part of this world. And I don't want to experience the loss of my family. We all desire to be intact, happy, healthy families, right? So there's a lot about this world that we do feel a connection to, but you know what? All of it's passing away. I know that's not really good news, but it's all passing away. The ultimate statistic is still true. Listen, the ultimate statistic is still true. 10 out of 10 people die. And I'm not trying to be funny or flippant by saying that, but actually it's a statement of tremendous gravity because it makes us understand, you know what? My family's not going to be around forever. I'm not going to be around forever. So we don't need to be in love with this world because you're not going to be here forever. So don't love the world. Your homeland is not this world. Your homeland is somewhere else. We are residents of heaven, ladies and gentlemen. And this world is just a place that we're passing through on our pilgrimage. And that is the mindset that I believe God wants us to adopt. I believe that the reason he gave me this series was that we as a family begin to get a revelation about that. This is not our homeland anyway. And I believe he wants us all to get that mindset. In order to be the most effective follower of Christ while you're here that you can, you need to get a different mindset that this is not your home. You're working for rewards in heaven in your eternal home where you belong. We don't belong here. We belong there. Okay, you all seem real excited about that. Yeah, that is a place to really get excited because it's a revelation for most people when they begin to understand, yeah, right, this place is not my home. Heaven is my home. And when we can be less enamored with the things of the world, the things of the world lose their hold on us. Okay, are you following me with my man? You seem to be really quiet tonight. Are you okay with this? You all right? Okay. Well, I want to transition thoughts here in talking about heaven to transitioning to what heaven is like. Because this is one of the things that has really encouraged us as a family as we get more and more of a revelation about what heaven is like. And again, I know you've all heard the stories about streets of gold and all that, but the Bible has a lot to say about what heaven is truly like. And so I want to just provide a little bit of that tonight. I can't go into a long dissertation about the realities of heaven, but I just want to give you a little bit of a snapshot about what the Bible says about heaven. So what is heaven like? Well, in Revelation 21, verses 4 and 5, it says this, and this is the Apostle John writing about his revelation that he had of heaven. And he says this, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. And he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away.'" Now that's a wonderful thought, isn't it? And this verse, once again, was written by the Apostle John after he'd been granted a glimpse of heaven while he was still alive on the earth, by the way. And there are others who've had similar experiences with heaven, with visions of heaven, or actually having been to heaven, literally, and then stuck around to tell about it. And I'm sure you've heard about the little boy Colton Burpo, Heaven is for Real, where the book and the movie were made about his story. He died as a little boy of complications of a ruptured appendix. And there's a lot of great information in there about what he saw in heaven. So I'd encourage you to pick up that book and read that if you haven't already read it, or check out the movie if you haven't already seen that. But another one that I want to show a video of here in a moment is by Don Piper. Don Piper was a pastor. He was in ministry of some sort. And he was on his way to church one Wednesday evening, and he got ran over by a semi. His car was literally ran over by a semi. He was killed instantly, and he went straight to heaven. I'm going to pull up a video here in a moment. Are you guys about ready with that? No? No? Okay. I'll keep talking for a minute so you can get ready. Don Piper, again, was ran over by a semi, killed him instantly. He spent 90 minutes in heaven. Four different paramedics pronounced him dead at the scene. And he'll tell this story here in a minute when we pull up this video, if the guys are able to get it going here. He was pronounced dead on the scene. Four different paramedics confirmed that he was dead. And then somebody drove up to the scene and actually saw it happen, and he asked the paramedics, "Can I go pray for the person in the car who's dead?" They said, "Yeah." So he went and prayed for him, and the guy comes back, and 90 minutes after his heart stops beating, he was raised from the dead. And then in his book, 90 Minutes in Heaven, he tells about all the different things that he saw in heaven. So these two books together will really give you a very much broader idea about what we can expect in heaven. So guys, go ahead and pull that up. Lower the lights a little bit. This is about a 7-minute clip, so be patient with it. And I just want you to hear a little bit more about Don Piper's story, okay?
Joining us now to talk about this trip to heaven is author Don Piper. Don, it's great to have you with
us
today.
Great to see you too. Thanks for having me.
Talk a little bit about that day. I would imagine, you know, lots of times people who are in traumatic accidents say they have no recollection, but do you remember seeing the truck coming at you? Or
You know, I do and I don't. I must have remembered it, or must have seen it, because I put my arm up in the air. Mm-hmm. And when the truck ran over me, that's the moment the truck ran over. It took my arm into the back seat. So I must have seen something out of the corner of my eye, but I don't remember the collision, thankfully. I think God sometimes just removes that from our minds.
Yes.
Otherwise, we would be so traumatized, we couldn't function anymore.
There were, well, of course, there was the truck driver involved in the accident. There were two other cars that he hit, but you were the only one who sustained really serious injuries of any kind.
That in itself is a miracle.
Yeah, really, it really is.
You're talking about a head-on collision. He ran over me, literally over the top of my car, and then soared back over and hit two more cars. So the two gentlemen in the other two cars were not harmed. They were treated and released. The truck driver was taken back to prison. He was a prisoner driving a prison truck. And so they were not hurt. I was killed Instantly.
Mm-hmm. And then tell us what that everybody wants to know. And then what? What did you see?
I didn't go down a long tunnel. There wasn't a bright light at the end of the tunnel. I didn't have a near-death experience. When you're dead an hour and a half, you're not nearly dead.
Yeah.
I was just there. I mean, it was just like that. I took my last breath on the bridge. I took my next breath at the gates of heaven. There are 12 of them, and I was at one set of them, and it looked like the inside of an oyster.
Huh.
It was so dazzling. I thought it was a living gate.
Yeah.
And it may have been, but it was because of the light off the gate. No sun or moon in heaven. God illuminates it. It was reflecting off the gate, and I was dazzled by that. But then I'm kind of panning down, and I'm looking to the eyes of my grandfather. I had been with him when he died, and was very close to him, adored him. I tell people I have a lot of broken bones, but nothing hurts like a broken heart.
Yeah.
When Papa died, it just was heartbreaking. The last time I saw him, he was in a casket. Mm. He did not look good. Now I'm in heaven, and he's there to greet me. He was missing fingers on both hands. He extended his hands to me and said, welcome home, Donnie, in a language I've never heard before, but fully understood. And I looked down at his hands, and his fingers were there. I'd never seen them before.
Really?
I don't think you sneak up on heaven. I think everybody out there knows who's coming.
Yeah.
You know, they don't miss us.
Time doesn't exist.
There's no
there,
time
so.
For them. So they'll pivot. We'll be right behind them in an earthly sense.
Yeah.
But in a heavenly sense, they're expecting us. And all these people who greeted me were expecting me. They knew I was coming. They didn't even know each other in this world. But in heaven, of course, they did. And they were the people who played a part in my spiritual life.
Wow.
They took me to church. They gave me a Bible. They told me about Jesus. They lived a Christian life in front of me. So I was greeted by those people at the gates, and what a great family reunion it was. But I left there thinking, who am I going to greet?
Yeah.
That's why we're still here.
Wow.
Is to help everyone else get there.
Yeah.
We got a lot of work to do.
We have a lot of work to do. You know, it's interesting you say that you felt like that gate was alive, because there were a couple things that stood out to me as I read your book again. One was when you say that in the book, and did you hear Dean Braxton in the story just before you came on talk about how everything seemed to be alive, even inanimate objects seemed to have a life to
them. Well, it is life. It's eternal life. Everything about it is life. The aroma is beyond anything I've ever smelled here. The color is beyond anything I've ever seen here. The embraces, the music was beyond any music I've ever heard. And I've heard some great music here, but there were thousands of songs in heaven at the same time without chaos. I could distinguish each one of them, except one song that kind of soared above all of them, Holy, 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 because He is.
Yes, He
is. So that music permeated me.
So when this was over for you, it was 90 minutes. He was dead 90 minutes. Mm-hmm. I mean, no one would have ever anticipated you'd come back from that. No,
right.
No heartbeat, no pulse.
No.
You were just as instantly back in your body as you were gone when you died.
Yeah, I had such catastrophic injuries because of the arm being twisted off in the back
and
seat.
And your leg.
And the leg was severed. My left leg was severed. Just an explosion, really. I lost 4.5 inches of my femur. So anybody would have bled out.
Yeah.
In a matter of really minutes. But my heart wasn't beating, so I didn't bleed out, which, you know, it kind of confirms the fact I was dead. 4 paramedics pronounced me dead. A gentleman who came to the same pastor's conference I came from walked upon the accident and asked the policeman if he could pray for the victims. And the policeman said, well, there aren't any victims. They're alive. Everyone else is okay. The man in the red car there is dead. And he heard God speak to him. I mean, just God said, pray for the man in the red car. That wasn't part of his theology.
He actually crawled through your trunk.
He crawled in the back of the car, because it's the only way he could get in it. He lifted up the tarp I was covered up with, discovered the only thing that didn't break was my right arm. He puts his hand on my right shoulder, and he begins to pray for me and sing hymns. 90 minutes after the truck hit me and killed me, he's singing the old hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
Wow.
And suddenly I started singing it with him.
You probably scared the tar out of that guy.
He got out of the car really fast and ran over to the policeman and said, the dead man is singing.
Yeah.
The dead man is singing, and they didn't believe him. They thought he was maybe hallucinating or something. But I remember singing.
And the story is such an incredible one. It's going to be an amazing movie. I can't wait to see it. I want to tell all of our viewers today, if you'd like to know more about this trip to heaven and you need to find out more, we've got two sources for you. One is his book, 90 Minutes in Heaven, A True Story of Life and Death, and it's available nationwide wherever books are sold. And then the movie starring Hayden Christensen and Kate Bosworth opens in theaters nationwide on September 11th. So get out there, be sure you see it. Don, what an amazing story. Thank you for being with us. Great to see you again.
Amazing, huh? So, you know, just from a scientific perspective, ladies and gentlemen, no one can be dead for 90 minutes and come back scientifically. When your brain is without oxygen for 5 minutes, you're usually done. Because you had such extensive brain damage, you don't come back from that. As a matter of fact, I saw him interviewed by ABC. Even some mainstream news sources have picked up the story, and he was interviewed on ABC a couple of times. And one of the interviewers said, well, how do you know you didn't dream heaven? Oh, no, wait a minute. It's kind of a dumb question, but I guess from a secular media perspective, you got to ask those kind of questions. Kind of a dumb question, because he was killed instantly, pronounced dead by four different paramedics, no heartbeat for an hour and a half, and then he wakes up, which is a medical impossibility. And then he tells of what he saw in heaven, tells about family members that he saw, tells about colors, as you saw there in that clip, that he'd never seen before, music that he'd never, it was just, he said it permeated his body, multiple songs going on at the same time without chaos. Just amazing, amazing stuff there. So there's actually a movie, and there's several interviews on YouTube. You can find many of his interviews on ABC and other sources on YouTube if you want to hear more of what he has to say. But he's got the book 90 Minutes in Heaven. And he's also got another book called, I think, Who I Met in Heaven, something like that. But the movie is available as well. Something interesting that he said that when he came back, he fell into a deep, deep depression for a long time because he'd seen that place and then had to come back here. And he came back here to a very, very broken body. His rehab was like 2 or 3 years. He was so decimated physically. So he fell into a deep depression, and he asked the Lord, he said, Lord, why did you let me see that place and then send me back here? So it was a very, very difficult adjustment for him to come back here after seeing that place. And of course, back to Wilma, that's another way we rejoice with her, because having seen that place, we wouldn't expect her to come back here and live. I mean, as wonderful as this place is in many ways, folks, let's be honest, it's a sewer compared to heaven. It is. It really is. Now, I mentioned Colton Burpo and Don Piper, but there's actually many eyewitness testimonies like these of people who have been there briefly and then come back. And there are people who have had visions of heaven as well, open visions. They didn't actually get killed and then go there, but they were still alive and had visions of heaven or visitations to heaven while they were still alive on this earth. The Apostle John is one of them, of course, who wrote the book of Revelation. But another one is the Apostle Paul. Did you know that he went to heaven? Did you know that? All right, let me read the passage to you. Now, I think his wording is interesting here in 2 Corinthians 12, 1 and 4, because he writes this in the third person rather than the first person. I think he was even too humble to say it was me who went. He writes this in the third person, but it's himself that he's talking about. Let's read what he says. I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. By the way, what's the third heaven? The third heaven is the place we call paradise, or the place where we go when we die. The first heaven, by the way, just in case you're wondering, the first heaven is the atmosphere around the earth. The second heaven is the cosmos that we know as space. The third heaven is the place where God abides. Okay, so with that in mind, whether it was in the body or out of it, I do not know, but God knows. And I know that this man whether in the body or out of it, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise. The things he heard were too sacred for words, things that man is not permitted to tell. So there was things that he saw in heaven he couldn't even talk about. It was so sacred. So the point in me bringing that up is that Paul was given a vision of heaven while he was still alive on the earth. So similar claims are made by people who are alive today. Jesse Duplantis is one of them. And there's a gal by the name of Kat Kerr who wrote the book, Hannah, what's the name of that book again? Revealing Heaven. Hannah just read that book. And she is a person who claims to have been to heaven not once, but many times. And her book, Revealing Heaven, and I think she's coming out with two or three more, would be worth checking out. But in Kat Kerr's case, she claims to have been there many times. And she gives a pretty interesting testimony, Kat Kerr does, about meeting a lady who had a 13-year-old daughter who died. And Kat Kerr said that when she went to heaven, one of the times that she went to heaven, she met that young girl. And God had allowed her to see her and meet her. And she told her mother that she saw her daughter riding a roller coaster in heaven with her great-grandfather, which sounds a little wild and out there, I know. But the mother said that the mother of this deceased daughter said that she knew that that was accurate because after she died, she found this girl's journal. And she read in that journal that she had had a dream where she died young and went to heaven and was riding a roller coaster with her great-grandfather. And that brought great comfort to the mother. And she was actually living with her great-grandfather in his mansion. There are loved ones in heaven that we will see, and I think there's going to be things that we see in heaven that we don't see in the Bible. The Bible, of course, does give us a glimpse of heaven. I'm going to give you that right now. I'm going to give you some details about what the Bible says about heaven. But there's some things in heaven that I think that the Bible doesn't discuss. Remember, Paul said there's things there that are too sacred for me to even talk about. But in Kat Kerr's case, she did see things that she was allowed to talk about. And why does God, by the way, allow people to go to heaven and come back and then talk about it? To encourage you and me, that's why. To encourage you and me. All right. So then, what is heaven like according to the scriptures? Well, it is lit by the glory of God, according to Revelation 21, 23. There's no sun and there's no moon there to give light because God's light permeates everything. That's where the light comes from. It's also spectacular and extravagance. Did you know that God likes extravagance? That's why he built heaven the way that he did. So you see there, I have reference for you several scriptures on the screen there, and I'll just kind of bust through these bullet points here real quick, and the references are in your notes. But emerald gates, Don Piper talked about that. Streets of gold, a crystal sea, mansions, angels of all kinds, and beautiful clothing. The list goes on. Apparently, in heaven, you're going to have fun all the time because it talks about parties and extravagant food. The marriage supper of the Lamb is a party that's going to last 7 earth years. That's a party. Joy and rejoicing. And also amusements. I don't have a scripture reference for you on that one, but I think based upon the testimonies of people like Kat Kerr and others, there are amusements in heaven. You'll be having fun there. All right, let's go on. Family members. Now, again, I don't have a scripture reference on that either because the Bible doesn't specifically talk about meeting family members in heaven, but we know obviously that we are going to because our family members that go on ahead who know the Lord, we will see them there along with the apostles and the prophets and everybody else that you ever wanted to meet that you saw in the Bible, okay? And a few people that you didn't meet on earth, that you played a part in your financial contribution to their salvation, and you're going to be met by people there who will say to you, I believe, thank you for giving because what you gave allowed me to hear the gospel through radio program, television program, or by a missionary. And partly because of what you gave, I was able to hear the gospel and respond. All right? So I think there's going to be family members that you'll see there, friends, etc. Revelation 21:4 says that we'll have no pain, no tears, no stress, no pressure in heaven. Would you like to live a life stress-free? How about this one? We may still have a purpose or a role to fill in heaven. All right, let me challenge your thinking for just a moment and ask you to think outside the box for just a second here, can I? So Kat Kerr said that when she visited heaven, she saw John Wayne. And, okay, go with me with this, okay? Don't let me weird you out too much. That John Wayne is well known. Prior to his death, he had cancer, so he had a long time to contemplate his life and to contemplate the life hereafter. And he was watching some religious program. I don't remember who it was, but the program on television gave a sinner's prayer, and in his weak position, he pulled himself up from his bed and knelt on his bed and prayed the sinner's prayer. So she said, John Wayne's in heaven, and, okay, this is really going to stretch you a little bit, he's still making Western movies. Okay, now, the reason that Kat Kerr, the reason that she says that that sort of thing is going on in heaven is because whatever gift that God has given you on earth is an eternal gift. So when you get to heaven, you're still going to be using those gifts. So people watch movies in heaven that people like John Wayne are still making and acting in. If you're like Sharon and you're a wonderful cook, Sharon is going to be baking and cooking in heaven. People are going to be coming to her. I think God's going to have a whole party for Sharon where she's able to cook her things, and people are going to sample them, and God's going to just love on Sharon and say, hey, look at the gift that Sharon has for cooking, and people are going to converge on a party given specifically for Sharon and her gifts. So we still have significance in heaven. Isn't that cool? We still have a role to play in heaven. All right. Neat stuff. Let's go on here. To some of you, this may be a little bit of a disappointment, but once you get there, it won't be. There's no marriage in heaven. Everyone is family, according to Matthew 22:30. But think about the logic of that. God's so smart. So let's say that maybe you are married and your spouse dies, and then you get remarried. Well, when you die, who are you going to be married to in heaven? Right? So it doesn't work that way in heaven. We're like the angels in heaven in that regard. There's no marriage in heaven. We're all just best friends in heaven. So no marriage in heaven, but you won't care once you're there. Okay? Everybody's going to be your best bud. All right? And there are rewards for your labor for the kingdom in heaven, according to several passages, and I had to pick and choose which ones I listed there for you. But there are rewards for your labor in heaven. I encourage you to read on your own time those passages, especially Matthew 25, the whole chapter of Matthew 25. You'll get a really big glimpse of the rewards that you send on ahead for your work here on earth. All right, so let me deal with this before we close here in a couple minutes. Why is all this important to know? Why is all this important to know? Well, first of all, it helps us to live with eternity in mind. When we know about heaven, especially when we have loved ones there that we've sent on and our hearts are empty that they're not with us anymore, knowing the joys that they're experiencing there brings us comfort. It brings us comfort, doesn't it? Okay? But it also inspires us to be as busy as we can be while we're here for the kingdom, because we do send rewards on ahead. You see, we've got work to do while we're here on this earth. See, there are people to reach still, and we want to get to heaven taking as many people with us as we can. Also, this is important to know because it helps us to keep a proper perspective. In other words, it keeps our minds on things above, not things here below, as our master text says. See, when you and I have a heaven mindset, folks, we're not so enamored by the things of this world, and they begin to lose their hold on us. Did you hear what I just said? When you have a heavenly mindset, you're not so enamored and tempted by the things of this world. You don't get entangled as much by the things of this world because your affections are above, not here below. And the things here below lose their hold on us. What's that old traditional song that we used to sing? The things of this world grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. You remember that old song? Yeah, that's a wonderful song, wonderful line there that I think really, really is true. By the way, on that note of the things of this world losing their hold on us, not being so enamored by the things of this world, when the great Puritan John Owen was laying on his deathbed, his secretary wrote on his behalf to a friend these words, "I am still in the land of the living." But Owen was displeased with that wording, and he said, "Stop, change that to say, I am yet in the land of the dying, but I hope soon to be in the land of the living." That's the perspective we need to have. This is not the land of the living. This is the land of the dying. Over there is the land of the living. See, that's a proper perspective. That's why, by the way, we're told in Ecclesiastes 7:2, and I shared this at all the funerals that I officiate, that it is better to go to the house of mourning than to a house of feasting. For death is the destiny of everyone, and the living should take this to heart. So I want to ask you tonight, have you taken that to heart? How are you living your life? Is there anything of value that you're going to leave behind when you die? Is there any rewards you're sending on that will be there for you when you get there? All right, I'm almost done here. Why is all this important to know? Well, it helps us to understand and appreciate the extravagant love of the Father. See, when you get a glimpse of heaven and the great love that God has for you there, you won't be a casual worshiper anymore. Hannah, was it you that was telling me earlier on when you read Kat Kerr's book, the love of the Father that she felt while she was there made it difficult to even focus on all the extravagant stuff going on around her? Was that you that told me that today? So the love of God, when you get a glimpse of heaven, the love of God is so immense that you'll no longer doubt it and you won't be a casual worshiper anymore, because worship is what goes on in heaven all the time. And speaking of the love of the Father, I want to share this verse with you. Psalm 116:15 says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His faithful servants." So where this verse is concerned there, we can obviously see that God passionately loves us. And it's precious when one of His loved ones come home to be with Him in His presence. But I think the other truth that we can derive from this verse is, folks, that you and I were created for heaven. We were only created for this world for a very short time. We were created for eternity in heaven. Man, if I could get across to you the fleeting nature of our lives here on earth. It's like a vapor, folks. It's here one minute, it's gone the next. It's like one of those radars with those things that go around and it targets a battleship or something. It finds it on the radar and that radar goes around and it goes blip. That's like what your life is like. The radar of eternity goes around, your life is here, and then blip, it's gone. It's like a vapor. That's the language the Bible uses. Your life is like a vapor. We're here, and then we're gone. Those of you that are my age and older, you know that, man, you look back over the course of your life, and you go, where did the time go? You know, I've jokingly said on many occasions, you've heard me say it, I think, that life is like a roll of toilet paper. The closer you get to the end, the faster it goes. doesn't it? So we need to be thinking along these lines. We were created for heaven. God our Father wants us there eventually. And when it's our turn to go, it's precious to Him because you'll finally be in His presence where you belong. And then lastly, why it's important for us to know all this, it helps us to stay encouraged and thus maintain our joy. So I'm going to read to you my last scripture passage tonight. And it's found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Starting in verse 13, it says, "Brothers, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you will not grieve like the rest who are without hope." Now, it's important and healthy and natural for us to grieve when we lose loved ones. But our grief doesn't have to be as deep as those who have no hope. That's what it's talking about. "Brothers, I don't want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you will not grieve like the rest who are without hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, we also believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. By the word of the Lord, we declare to you that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who fall asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of an archangel, with a trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will be the first to rise. After that, we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." Encourage one another. See, the reality of heaven, ladies and gentlemen, encourages us. So we should think about it often, speak about it often, and let that strengthen us to do all that we can while we're here for the sake of where we will be spending eternity. You know, 1 Corinthians 5:8 tells us that to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. And we should look forward to that, of course. Not that we should want to leave here prematurely before our assignment is done, but we shouldn't be so attached to this world. Live like the stranger and the alien that you are. Because one day your time on this alien planet is going to be done. And you will be swallowed up by life and enter your real eternal home. Let that reality guide you now in the way that you live. Praise God.
You've been listening to the teaching ministry of Pastor Andy Robbins and Blessed Life Fellowship. For more teaching and ministry resources, go to the church website at www.blessedlifefellowship.org. Thanks for listening, and may God's grace and favor shine on you.